Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Family Crucible by Augustus Y. Napier is a landmark work in family therapy that invites readers inside the lived reality of change. Built around a detailed case study of a family in crisis, the book shows how entrenched patterns of conflict, avoidance, and misunderstanding can harden over time and then begin to soften through a structured therapeutic process. Napier, a clinician known for translating complex psychological ideas into clear human terms, focuses less on diagnosing individuals and more on understanding the family as an emotional system. The result is both a narrative and a practical learning experience. Readers see the stress points that drive escalation, the protective roles family members adopt, and the moments when new communication becomes possible. While grounded in clinical practice, the book is written for a broad audience, making it approachable for parents, partners, counselors, and anyone curious about why families repeat the same painful arguments. It frames therapy as a demanding but hopeful process of confronting fears, renegotiating roles, and building more flexible relationships. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, seeing the family as a system rather than a set of individuals. A central idea in The Family Crucible is that a family operates like an interconnected system. When one person changes, everyone is affected, and symptoms often reflect the health of the whole relationship network. Instead of treating a single family member as the problem, the book emphasizes patterns such as alliances, distance, over-involvement, and cycles of blame that keep the family stuck. This system's view helps explain why logical solutions often fail. Even when someone promises to behave differently, the old emotional choreography pulls them back into familiar roles because those roles reduce anxiety in the short term. Napier presents therapy as a way to map these invisible rules and to make them discussable. Readers learn to look for recurring sequences: who provokes, who rescues, who withdraws, and what fear sits underneath the surface argument. The practical value of this topic is that it reframes conflict from moral judgment to pattern recognition. That shift lowers defensiveness and opens the possibility of shared responsibility. When a family can say, "We are caught in a loop," it becomes easier to experiment with new responses, set healthier boundaries, and support change without turning it into a personal attack. Secondly, therapy as a structured encounter with emotion and avoidance. The book highlights how family therapy is not simply a conversation, but a carefully guided encounter with emotion, avoidance, and uncertainty. Families often arrive with a list of complaints, but beneath those complaints are unspoken fears. Fear of being controlled, fear of abandonment, fear of failure, or fear that closeness will lead to hurt. Napier depicts the therapist's role as active and strategic, helping family members slow down reactive exchanges and stay present with feelings they typically escape through sarcasm, silence, or escalation. This includes setting ground rules for speaking, interrupting destructive patterns in real time, and redirecting attention from winning an argument to understanding what the argument protects. The process can feel intense because it asks each person to tolerate discomfort long enough to learn something new. Readers can take away a realistic picture of why therapy sometimes gets worse before it gets better. Increased honesty can raise tension, but that tension can be productive when it exposes the real stakes and invites more direct requests for care, respect, or autonomy. The therapy frame also shows how accountability and empathy can coexist, allowing families to name harmful behavior while still recognizing the pain behind it. Thirdly, roles, scapegoating, and the cost of fixed family identities. Another major theme is the way families assign roles that simplify complexity but eventually become cages. One child may become the responsible one, another the troublemaker, a parent the peacemaker, or someone the distant critic. These identities stabilize the family system by distributing stress, yet they also limit growth and intensify conflict. The Family Crucible illustrates how scapegoating can develop when a family channels its shared anxiety into one person, treating that individual as the cause of everyone else's distress. This can look like focusing on a child's behavior, a spouse's mood, or a teenager's rebellion while ignoring the relational environment that fuels it. Napier's approach encourages families to ask what function the role serves. What does the scapegoat express that others cannot, and what conflict does the role keep hidden between the adults? The therapeutic work involves challenging rigid narratives and allowing each person to reclaim a fuller range of feelings and choices. For readers, the insight is both compassionate and practical. It becomes possible to reduce blame, recognize how each member contributes to the pattern, and create room for new identities. When a family loosens role rigidity, it can respond to stress with flexibility rather than reflex. Fourthly, communication patterns that escalate conflict and how to interrupt them. The book offers a close look at everyday communication habits that turn minor tensions into chronic battles. Families often communicate on two levels at once: the surface content of an argument and the hidden message about worth, loyalty, or power. A request can be heard as criticism, silence can feel like rejection, and anger can mask grief or fear. Napier emphasizes that escalation is usually predictable. People interrupt, defend, generalize, bring up old grievances, or recruit allies, and the conversation quickly shifts from solving a problem to protecting a self-image. The therapeutic intervention is to slow the process, clarify what is being asked for, and encourage direct statements of need rather than indirect attacks. This also involves teaching family members to listen for the feeling under the words and to verify meaning instead of assuming intent. The practical lesson is that better communication is not only about politeness. It is about emotional accuracy, timing, and boundary awareness. When family members learn to pause, name their experience, and ask specific questions, the whole atmosphere changes. Even if problems remain, the family gains tools to discuss them without triggering the same automatic spiral of accusation and withdrawal. Lastly, change, boundaries, and the long work of building a new family balance. The family crucible portrays change as a process of renegotiating closeness and independence. Many families struggle because they swing between enmeshment and distance. Some members feel smothered, while others feel ignored. Therapy helps identify where boundaries are either too porous or too rigid, and how those boundary problems show up in parenting, marriage, and sibling relationships. Napier underscores that progress requires more than insight. It requires repeated behavioral experiments, speaking differently, allowing different consequences, resisting the urge to rescue, or tolerating a child's frustration without panic. As these experiments unfold, the family system resists because the old equilibrium feels safer even when it is painful. The book shows that setbacks are not proof of failure, but predictable reactions to change. Over time, healthier boundaries allow for more honest expression and less emotional caretaking. Readers can apply this by focusing on what they can control, their own responses, their clarity, and their consistency. The larger benefit is a new family balance, where affection does not require self-sacrifice and autonomy does not require emotional cutoff. This topic makes the book hopeful because it frames transformation as achievable, but only through patience, persistence, and shared responsibility. In conclusion, this book is best suited for parents who feel stuck in repeating fights, couples navigating the strain of parenting, adult children trying to understand long-standing family roles, and clinicians or students who want a vivid picture of how family therapy unfolds. It is also valuable for readers who are skeptical about therapy because it shows the discipline and structure involved rather than presenting change as vague inspiration. The benefit to a reader's life comes from the book's core reframing. Problems often live in patterns, not in one defective person. That perspective reduces shame and blame while increasing agency, since anyone can begin altering a pattern by changing how they respond. Readers can learn to recognize escalation sequences, identify avoidance, and practice clearer requests and boundaries, which can improve everyday conversations and lower household stress. Compared to many family and parenting books that focus on tips, rules, or individual psychology alone, The Family Crucible stands out for its concrete, case-based learning and its systems-oriented lens. It provides a realistic account of how difficult conversations actually happen and how professionals intervene. That grounded clarity makes it worth buying for anyone who wants both insight and a believable path toward healthier family relationships. If you would like to support Augustus Y. Napier, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.